Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Mr. McHale's Manor of Mischief, Magic, and Mystery. I am your host, Andrew McHale. Thank you for tuning in to the 6M podcast. I hope you guys had a beautiful holiday, whichever holiday you may celebrate. And I wanted to start this podcast off with an apology. A sincere, heartfelt, deep apology for not posting the episode last week. I know in the episode before this one, I spoke briefly about how important it is to stick to a schedule and how badly I want consistency out of pretty much everything I do. And I kind of dropped the ball on the Christmas episode because it became quite an undertaking, being that the Christmas episode, I was going to explain how Christmas or the meaning of Christmas, now take this with a grain of salt, folks. It's just a theory, so relax. so that I was going to say that Christmas or the story of Christ's birth was actually a allegory for the sun or the coming of the sun, a new dawn, so to speak. And I realized about like 40 minutes into this subject that it was just so vast and so intricate of a theory that explaining it in an hour-long podcast was just a little bit much, especially since, you know, it was Christmas time and I have real life shit going on. I've got band shit going on. I've got a lot of shit going on. And normally I usually can handle it, but goddamn, the holidays are just fucking crazy. So I just wanted to apologize for not posting that, but I did kind of graze on the subject in an Instagram post. If you guys have seen it, great. If not, feel free to check that out. I briefly explained my thoughts on the Christmas Jesus Son allegory thing. And if you want to research it further yourself, hey, feel free. I just Google Jesus, Son, allegory, Christmas, occult, something like that. And you will see a lot of varying opinions and conversations and arguments that people have with each other, whether they be occultists or occultists versus Christians and pagans. And it's a lot. And it was just kind of getting boring. And I was really excited about that episode, and I really, 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 really tried to get that out there, but goddamn, it was a lot. So we're hitting the reset button. It's the weekend before the new year, the end of a decade, and I would be a fool if I did not take this moment or use this episode to ponder or glance upon the past 10 years of my life, our lives, the scene, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I'm really excited for this episode. Really excited to dive in on some history of mine. But before we get into that, just some quick plugs, guys. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or if you want to feature your band on the podcast, feel free to submit. You can DM me on Instagram, Andrucifer, A-N-D-R-U-C-I-V-E-R, or you can comment on the post in general. I mean, it's not hard to see it. Everything, the forum is wide open. So if you guys have any questions for the podcast, anything like that, just comment or message me, or, you know, if things start picking up, You can always use hashtag AskAndrucifer. That's ask Andrucifer. Or hashtag the six, S-I-X, the 6M podcast. So I doubt things are going to be that crazy to the point where I can't read your guys' questions or stuff like that. So, but I will say things are picking up over here. Things have been crazy as far as all things Serpents. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, Serpents is the band that I sing and play guitar for. It's my baby. It's my life. Serpents US. Serpents US, guys. you know, as usual, we do a little update on what's happening on my front. I'm just going to run through these. These are basically like homemade ads because we don't have a sponsor or anything for this show. I mean, hell, I don't really think we're really in the position to have a sponsor anyways right now. So just a quick reminder, we do have our new merch line pre-orders still up for pre-order. We've gotten a lot of orders so far, so that's been fucking awesome. Thank you guys so much. I don't know if we're getting orders from podcast listeners, but whatever. We have a zip-up hoodie and a long sleeve for pre-order. They're fucking killer. Check them out at weareserpents.bandcamp.com. We actually did a little feature for Ghost Cult magazine. I released my top 25 albums of the year, and then I took it a little bit further and did a top 50 Spotify playlist that consists of all my favorite albums. So if you guys want to check all that out, see if your band is on there. Head to ghostcultmag.com. You'll see the list there. And I believe a link to the Spotify playlist is there as well. Check it out. I love curating stuff like this. It's basically like making a mixtape for somebody or for all of you. So it's always fun every year doing one of those. So if you guys don't want to go to the website, just head to our Spotify at Serpents US, and you'll see it somewhere on the artist playlist section, along with our new playlist called Serpent Society. That's actually a playlist consisting of bands that are somewhat related to Serpents as far as friends wise, or you know, just bands that we see that are on the rise or on the grind or on the grind. I hate that word. But yeah, so that's kind of like a support playlist. So if you're looking for some new tunes, or if you're looking for new bands you probably haven't heard of that are just fucking toiling away at their craft, check out the Serpent Society playlist as well on podcasts, on Spotify. And I believe that might be it for Serpent's announcements. Let me check my notes here. Yep, that's it. I breezed through that, right, guys? I know I've been listening to the past episodes of the podcast and episodes of the podcasts, and I was just like, wow, I really talk about this stuff for too long. So I really appreciate you guys dealing with that every week so far. But the last of the Serpents plugs is that you can find us, or please find us, on Facebook at facebook.com/weareserpents. Add us on Instagram at serpentsmetal. Follow us on Twitter at weareserpents. Our official website is weareserpents.com. If you're just fucking overwhelmed with all the links or the call to actions and all that, so you could always find us at weareserpents.com. You can pick up merch, CDs. Please do. For the love of fucking God, pick something up at weareserpents.bandcamp.com, and check us out on Spotify if you have not already at Serpents US. So that's all the plugs for today. And that's the podcast. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Now, we're actually going to switch things up a bit. I know most of the time I usually do questions at the end of the podcast, but I want to switch things up and try something new. So we're actually going to answer some questions right now, submitted to me via Instagram. We got one from our returning champ, Evil Danny LP82. I think I said your username correctly. Let me double check. Yep. She asks, with who would you like to collaborate with as far as artists goes, and why? That's a good question. It doesn't take much thought to say that I would love to collaborate with Devin Townsend, just because he's a huge inspiration to me, whether you want to look at it from a musician perspective, a personal, I guess, personality perspective, or even just work ethic perspective or career. I love his music, and I try and take that influence and make my own spin towards it, kind of give a evil Devin Townsend vibe to my stuff, just because I just feel like his sound really resonates with everything I love about music. So I would love to collaborate with him on something dark and evil, or hell, maybe even like beautiful stuff. I don't know. I really, 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 really would love to do that one day. And actually came very, very close in my previous bands to working with him. But we didn't really... I mean, he might have changed his protocol since back then, but we really didn't fit the bill as far as what he was looking for in terms of like producing a band or working with the band, which is totally understandable because that really wouldn't have worked out very well. But goddamn, I was close. But what can you do, right? So I got another question from Dustin Albright of Discreet. My buddy, Dustin, how you doing, man? Haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're good. He says, when are we touring together again? I don't know, man. You tell me. You're the one that's always on tour with all these other bands. I believe he drives for some bands, plays bass, plays guitar. He's got his band currently called April Mist, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. Yeah, we toured back in the day with Discreet, I think in like 2009. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Discreet, I mean, if you like Malcolm from Inferi's work, he's done a lot of work with Discreet in the past. Andy Taylor played drums on a couple of Faceless songs, I think. He's a killer drummer. Babcock, I mean, dude, like this band, if you're not familiar with Discreet with a K, so D-I-S-K-R-E-E-T, I think I've spelled that right. I don't know, I'm all over the place today, but if you like technical music and you're looking for something that you haven't heard before, check out Discreet. So, love you, buddy, and hope you're well on all things music and science and life related. I know you're grinding. So, we got another question, the last question from my buddy Ryan Keene from Cryptic Oath. He says, if you were to recruit a new band member, what would you consider more relevant or important? A skilled active musician who has at least a few releases and plays well live, but lacks at social media, or B, a decent player who has a huge social media following, but is unproven with writing full songs and has very little to no live experience. That is a hard question, just because, you know, I've been in both sides of the coin. You know, I've been the guy trying to get the gig in like an established band, and I've also been the guy picking musicians for my band. So my options are A, a skilled active musician who has because a few releases plays well live but lacks its social media. So to kind of open that up a little bit, you know, I don't think there's any problem with anybody who's number one, skilled, number two, still active, number three, hey, you've got a few releases, that's even better, and you play well live, that's number four. Totally fucking down with that. I think anybody who fills those criteria is an asset to a band. You know, not so much the business end of things, because as he says here, but lacks at social media. I still think that person is an asset and can be taught how to, you know, operate or present themselves or even the band on social media. I mean, that shouldn't be like a be all end all. Like, fuck social media, man. Like, who cares? You're making music. You are a musician. The fact that we have to be experts and fucking marketers and fucking like keep up to date every fucking week with an algorithm and what changes each platform has had this week or this month on each fucking algorithm. Like, it sucks. Fucking sucks. So yeah, I would rather take already the first option, or B, a decent player who has a huge social media following but is unproven with writing full songs and has very little to no experience. So let's open that up a little bit. A decent player. Still can be taught, but kind of annoying to have if the guy can't play songs that you're writing. And anyone who knows Ryan Keane, he's a fucking crazy writer. He's a shredder. I mean, I don't know if you're asking Ryan for me or your perspective, but you definitely want a good player on your side who has a huge social media following. Again, it's nice to have, but kind of useless in terms of music, unless you're doing all the writing. That's another thing. If you're doing all the writing, it's cool to have somebody with a huge social media following, but if he can't play, then that kind of sucks. So, next one, but is unproven with writing full songs. Again, if you're doing all the writing, it doesn't really matter, but that would really bring you down when it comes to coming to the table with ideas or constructive criticism. That's one of the biggest things people or musicians really need to learn these days, is that if you don't like it, at least give a little feedback, some constructive criticism instead of bitching or, you know, making memes to make fun of something or just full on just shitting on something. Constructive criticism, guys. That's how you operate a business of sorts. I mean, you don't go to your job and say, you know, this sucks. This product sucks. You want to say, I'm not a big fan of this product because, or I don't like this product. I think this could help, and then whatever. But back to the question. Sorry, I keep getting on these rants. And then he adds, has very little to no live experience. That, I think, is huge. Huge, because I've been down that road, and you know, you definitely want someone who's comfortable on stage, who's comfortable in his own skin, who's comfortable with the songs. And going back to the first part of this question here, if this person is a decent player but doesn't know how to write songs and isn't very good on the stage but has a huge social media following, I mean, I can't really work with that. I mean, that is a lot. That's a work job. You know, you really got to build that person and help mold them into whatever they want to become. But what's to say that that person won't straight up just leave you or leave the band once they get comfortable or get a little, you know, whatever, clout, as they say. So, Ryan, I would go with, obviously, the first option, a skilled active musician who has at least a few releases and plays well live, but lacks the social media, because social media, again, when it comes to music, doesn't really affect anything. Because, hell, I mean, I know everybody sees my name and my face on Serpent Shit, which I fucking hate, but a lot of my guys are not social media friendly or active on social media, which, I mean, Ryan, I think you're talking to me personally, buddy. I think, are you calling me out? Just kidding. I'm not a skilled active musician. But, yeah, I mean, I try and usually teach my guys some things to do or better practices to do as far as, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, can you make sure to tag the band in this? Or, hey, can you make sure to do this? And honestly, they learn and they pick up and then they keep doing it. And their social media presence grows as well. So I would go with option A and really invest into whoever you're, I guess, getting involved with. That's huge, at least in my perspective. But those are all the questions I have today or this week. If you guys feel inclined, as always, feel free to send me a message with your question. I'm always looking for stuff to talk about and harp on and kind of let loose with. But let's just dive into today's subject, shall we? How's that sound, guys? Today's subject, as I said earlier, is the end of a decade is marked on January 1st. 10 years have passed. Well, they're going to pass soon. I'm recording this near the end of December, so bear with me on the future tenses here. But how do you guys feel the last 10 years were for you? Did you accomplish everything you set out, you know, in, what was it, 2010? What, did you even have goals in 2010? I know I didn't. I was 21 at the time, and I had the, well, I felt like I had the whole world on my shoulders. And I know that's kind of silly for someone who's 21 to feel that way, but if you really look back at it, and today, the past couple of days, I've been trying to do my homework and kind of refigure out or retrace my steps in a way as to what I did or where was I or what the fuck I even did in the past 10 years, because looking back at it and like seeing tagged photos and old posts, even though they were really cringy, and I'm sure when I'm older, I'll look at these podcasts or listen to these podcasts and think, wow, I was really fucking young, dumb, and full of cum back then. But looking back, it was really strange to see all the things that I've accomplished without even setting out goals, so to speak. You know, when I was 21, I was in the band Oceano. I turned 21 on tour, but that was 2009. So I think 2010 in January, we actually were rehearsing or writing songs for Contagion, the second Oceano album. Now, there's a whole lot of backstory between that that I don't want to get into, but let's just say, you know, I was writing and we were on the road to recording Contagion, hence why I said, you know, I was supposed to work with Devin Townsend, but we didn't really fit the bill. Well, that was for Contagion before we decided on going with Zeus. And I believe in February 3rd, I announced I was leaving Oceano. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, they've been asking me, and they still do, thankfully, less and less than before, you know, why did you leave? I've done a few interviews on the subject, and I'm not going to dive into that because, like I said in the past podcast, that person is dead, buried. I don't look back on those times, you know, with a nostalgic purpose. The only thing I look back on is all the things we've accomplished, all the friends I've made in those times, and, you know, the art will stand the test of time, and I cannot deny that. I cannot deny my past, but I do look upon the art fondly. You know, that was a timestamp for just my art, or me at 21, you know, just fucking out for blood, you know. The whole world was on my to-be-conquered list, and given the fact that we did all that we did back then before I was 21, or before entering 2010, it's really impressive, and I'm not sucking my own dick here, so don't relax, guys. I'm just looking back and just thinking, wow, man, all that before 21. A lot of people, they were still in college or, you know, fucking around at the bars and, you know, just fucking around in general. And it was really cool to just see that while researching the past 10 years. And, you know, I left essentially because I was overwhelmed with the pressure or the dictation I was receiving on in terms of the new album, you know, the next album, the follow-up to Depths, like, oh my God. And being 21 and impressionable, you know, I was looking to the people around me for support, and I could not find support, and I was extremely stressed, and, you know, looking around and just seeing that I'm alone in this, in all of this, and yet all the flack that would be happening if I did not do a good job would be at me. And essentially I was just like, I've done a lot. I am forcing something that should not be forced, and I do not assume all of the responsibility if this succeeds or fails. So I decided to leave, and literally, I mean, I had this in the back of my mind, but literally the day I left was the birth of Serpents. So that was February 3rd, 2010. And also at the same time, the birth of my little, I guess, label or imprint. I don't know what you want to call it. True Media. That's TRVE Media. It's the, I guess you could call it a label that I release all the Serpent stuff on. It's what I do all of my production work on. It's design work. I mean, it's been there since 2010, and again, something I never really thought I'd be doing, but with the new decade, you have to push yourself to try something new, try something different, expand your horizons. And if you really want to check the reason for the season out, look at the Christmas allegory, like I was talking about, the sun thing. It's a new beginning. It should be the birth of a higher self. A God within you, of sorts, a God, quote unquote, within you. So leaving that situation was bettering myself and my mental state, my godliness, my artistic self, whatever. I mean, that should explain a lot. And yeah, I never thought I would go solo, so to speak, or start a little label and start recording bands. I noticed through the last decade, I recorded a lot of bands and produced a lot of bands and did a lot of artwork for people. So I think that was really cool too, that, you know, back in January or February 2010, I started something just for myself, and I ended up helping a lot of people along the way, whether they're still doing it or whether they're not doing it. It's really crazy to see like where my work or commissioned work helped move along some people's careers. And that's really fucking cool. And I'm really appreciative of that. And, you know, upon, oh, hello. You guys hear the sirens? Upon doing that, I kind of saw I guess you could say journey, where, you know, I was young and pretty much living on couches and not having much to look forward to, because I basically started Serpents, but Serpents didn't do anything till 2011. But I started writing and I created the band name and all that stuff. And it was more of a statement at the time, and it turned into something else over the years, which you guys can hear me babble on about in other interviews. You know, what does Serpents mean, or what's it to you? There's a lot of different explanations. It really depends on the day you ask me, but in retrospect, it was a statement towards the situation I was in and my thoughts towards everyone in the, you know, industry, all just in general, I guess. But I needed to move forward. I needed to continue touring, and I couldn't do that with a project that had just started. So I remember there was a time where I moved to Florida. You know, I moved to Florida for a little bit with a, obviously now ex, and it was a move towards joining Thick as Blood back in the day. And I know some of you guys may remember me from those days. It was a weird time. You know, a lot of my friends in the industry that were looking out for me, shout out to them. I really appreciate their help. They got me the gig, and I ended up kind of, again, couch surfing in Miami just for a short while doing the Thick as Blood stuff, you know, writing, getting ready for a tour. The only tour I did with them, unfortunately, was that Earth Crisis First Blood tour, which was really fun. I met a lot of really cool people on that tour, but it did not end well. Mainly because of some personal differences and some personal drama consisting with some people that I do not wish to associate with anymore. But shout out to Gino and Randy and Brandon for being really fucking cool. And I wish Gino and Randy all the success. I know these guys, if you guys don't notice, Randy and Gino, they've been doing like movies and show, I don't know about movies, but I know they've been doing TV shows and stuff. And I remember back in the day, they were talking about, you know, what they wanted to do. And I thought it was really cool to see how their journeys changed. You know, I know we're not friends anymore, but it was really cool to see, or still see, how their lives have unraveled for them. You know, I don't even think the band is together anymore, but they're doing big things, and I saw that back in the day, and that's, you know, I saw the potential, and that's why I signed on, essentially. But again, you know, we're still talking about 2010 is when, you know, I moved back home, again, couch surfing, and did a couple stints doing merch. I think I met some people that are listening to this podcast when I was doing merch for Taproot. That was an interesting, experience, but it also taught me a lot about, you know, the industry, or that industry, like nu metal or radio metal, and just the trajectory that could happen. You know, I know back then Taproot was like on their comeback or like upswing. They've been around forever, and it was really cool to see that a band like that can stay with the times and also adjust, and also, I don't know, it was just really cool to be a part of that crew, and I met some really cool people. Again, sorry if I'm repeating myself, but it's kind of hard to think about all this stuff and not repeat myself. But obviously doing merch, I kind of got hungry for playing again, and keep in mind, I was writing Serpent stuff, you know, in between tours or in green rooms and whatever before doors open. And I landed a gig playing guitar for Legend, or back then it was called Legend, but now it's LGND for those of you who want to hear it. It was Chad from For the Fallen Dreams side project, or at the time his only project. And it was really exciting because back then it was like considered like a super group of just dudes in the heavy scene, and it didn't pan out very well. I think the label didn't want me just because of, you know, the way I look, whatever, but it was really fun to play with those guys, and I miss those guys. I miss Dylan, Chad, even Bagby. And yeah, man, it was just really fun. And I don't know if you guys heard the records after Valediction. I think that's what it was called. But they really ended up putting out some really cool shit. I know DL from Acacia Strain did their last record. So I would rather have DL write songs instead of me, because he is the fucking master. And yeah, man, DL is the man. And Legend was fun. And, you know, I look back on those times very fondly, in the sense that I met a lot of cool people too, and had a really good time playing with those guys. But obviously I felt kind of burned, you know, being that, at least from what I was told, I don't know, maybe I was an asshole, I don't know, but from what I was told, the label didn't want me just based on looks. So at that time I was like, I need to concentrate on myself, concentrate on my own success. Like, it's all great, you know, helping others achieve their dreams. But I think at that time in 2011 is when I got really serious about Serpents. You know, I released the Monumental Disillusionment on February 3rd, 2011. And that is like the Serpents anniversary day, as some of you guys may already know, the initiates. They look at February as Serpents Month, which is kind of funny, but I mean, it rings true. And being that, you know, I was trying to take care of myself, or trying to start a life, so to speak, you know, I moved back home and was couch surfing, and I needed to work. You know, I had a couple jobs. I even worked at Kohl's while I wrote the material for the Serpent stuff. That really sucked. I really hated that time in my life. But I also at the same time started doing stuff that I love in the industry. I was stage managing, stage handing, thanks to my brother Al Slager. Shout out to you, man. You know, I was working alongside with the unions out here, or the IATSE. I was doing work, doing lighting, sound, whatever. I really enjoyed my time doing merch, so I really wanted to see if I could just try that out. And by no means, I know the industry believes that one has to choose a side. So, I mean, this could be an old thought. You know, no one has told me otherwise since then, but a lot of the guys are like, if you are a this, you can't be this. So if you are a musician or band guy, you can't be a merch guy or tour manager. Or if you are a stage manager, you can't be band guy. If you are a sound guy, you can't do that. And I really tried to push the limits towards that. And I have authority issues. So whenever you say you can't do something, I automatically want to do it. So I was doing that, and also doing the Serpent stuff. I think in 2011, we did two tours. We had a revolving door of a lineup. Not my choice. but I believe at that time we were on Artery and, you know, Alex Wade, shout out to Alex in Whitechapel. I love you and I love all those guys. He really believed in us. And I've been friends with Alex for many years, many, many years. And it was really cool now that I look back and see that he really believed in us and took a shot and in managing us at the time. But for some people in the band at the time, we weren't moving fast enough. And to be honest with you guys, looking back, like, we were actually doing quite a bit for a short time. So I don't know what the fuck that was about. But again, maybe I was an asshole. I don't know. Hey, I was 22, 23 at the time. Can you guys remember when you were 22, 23 at the time? Can you remember what sort of things you were doing? Did you have a global business on your shoulders? Did you have four other people's livelihoods on your shoulders? Again, I was fatter than I am now, and maybe I was bipolar because of the sugar. I don't know, but I'm not making excuses for myself, but hey, we all grow, we all learn, and unfortunately, you know, I'm still friends with some of the members from that era, but I unfortunately lost a lot of friends and my time in 2011 just because I really needed to weed out the bad apples, so to speak. How about that? You guys like that term? So, you know, I did that for a little bit. And then once everybody left and everything kind of stopped, I continued working behind the scenes on the album, Born of Ishtar, or the album To Come. So yeah, I was working on that album behind the scenes while doing stage stuff and working and just trying to pay my bills. And then while working, I ran into Sean Glass, who played in a bunch of bands or whatever you want to call it. But he was from Soil, and I think I was working a Trivium show, and he was backstage, and we were just shooting the shit, and we exchanged numbers, and out of the blue, he texted me one day saying, "Hey, I know you're looking for a gig. You wanna try out for this band?" I was like, "Yeah, what band?" And he was like, "Straight Line Stitch." The dude, Chris Norris, who was in Darkest Hour, was leaving Straight Line Stitch, and they needed a touring guitarist at the time, and nailed the tryout. Next thing you know, I was heading to Florida to catch up with them on a tour, literally hopping on in the middle of a tour to finish out the tour for them. And that started my days in Straight Line Stitch, like 2013. Again, still doing Born of Ishtar, you know, in backstage green rooms and recording ideas in the van. And a lot of you guys met me in those days, and it was a really fun time. You know, we did a lot of national touring, no international touring, and I made a lot of really, really good people on that time. And I tend to dismiss that period of my life just because Straight Line Stitch is more of like a radio metal band, or like, you know, comparable to Five Finger Death Punch and stuff like that, which oddly enough, like, I met, you know, Chris Kale while in Straight Line Stitch, and I met a bunch of fucking really cool people in that time. And the thing that sticks out the most in my days with Straight Line Stitch were their fans. You know, their lineup was kind of ended up being a revolving door, unfortunately, but the fans were always there for them. And we played some questionable places. Again, you know, doing national tours, I mean, how many venues are in each city? You know, we were playing bar to bar, venue, bar to bar. You know, it was a grind, and we toured all year for years, and I loved it. I loved playing, and shit, that was the best shape I was in my life. God damn it. Not to mention, it was the first time I was like making a living playing music. So I look back on those days very fondly. And again, like, some of the fans from those days are still with me. How fucking cool is that? I mean, how cool is it that, you know, Legend fans or Thick as Blood fans or even Oceano fans are still with me? I think that's so fucking cool. Like, I really want you guys to understand that. Like, I do not glance over that fact that you guys are still here. So fucking cool. But unfortunately, oddly enough, the last tour I did was Straight Line Stitch. It was a Jamie Josta hateware themed tour or whatever. And I remember it was a headlining tour that we were doing, and we got asked by Josta to take on a band for the tour, you know, like as a favor. And that band was Defiler, because Defiler at the time was managed by Josta and a bunch of other people. And we took them on, and shortly after hopping on the tour, I think Jake got sick, or maybe Jake thought the tour was shot. Like, I don't remember. But they left, like, not even like a week into the tour. And even just knowing those guys for like a week or whatever, maybe a week, 2 weeks, I really, really enjoyed their company. And being that they were fans of my previous work, you know, we kind of hit it off very well, like right at the beginning, because keep in mind, you know, I really didn't want to play like radio metal unless I was in Seven Dust. I love that band, and I would kill to play in a band like Seven Dust. That's why I did Legend, because they wanted to do Seven Dust kind of shit. But we all know that didn't pan out. So yeah, so we did. We took Defiler out. Straight Line Stitch came home. And I remember getting a text or an email from Jake from Defiler. And Straight Line Stitch was on like a secret hiatus at the time, at least. And Jake was like, hey, do you want to go to Russia? I was like, for what? And I had never been to Russia. I actually had a list. So 2015, like I had goals all of a sudden. So halfway through the decade, I had goals. I was like, I really want to tour in Japan. I really want to tour in Australia. I really want to tour Russia. I really want to tour India and South America. Because we were supposed to do a South American tour when I was in Thick as Blood, but I had left because of said issues before. So Jake was like, you want to go to Russia for a month? And I believe the tour ends with us playing with Parkway Drive. And, you know, being in Straight Line Stitch for so long, I was like, yes, heavy music, Parkway Drive, overseas touring, fucking cool dudes, sign me the fuck up. And and it was also really cool that, like, oh, Josta was the manager along with some other people. So at that time, you know, I was going back and forth from Chicago to Knoxville because that's where Straight Line Stitch was. I was like, all right, let's go to fucking California. You know, so I was living in the Bay Area for a little bit, again, couch surfing with Jake and Joey's family, who Joey's now the guitarist of Defiler, but back then he was the bass player. We did an amazing, amazing tour in Russia where most, I would say like 85% of the month-long tour, we did Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. Was 85% of that tour was sold out, and that was something I had not seen in a while. And we had a fucking great time. You know, there's footage of that. If you guys want, check it out on YouTube, the Defiler Russia vlog. I don't know what it's called, but it was a really happy time. And obviously, staying with them in California was fucking great because it's better than cold-ass Chicago. And also because around that same period, while I was in Russia, Straight Line Stitch announced that they were coming back, so to speak, and they would no longer be needing my services due to trying to, from what I understand, keep their budget a little bit lower moving forward. And they moved on without me. And I, being that I was staying with the guys in Defiler, kind of went all in with Defiler. And shortly after, we had lined up a tour in Australia. It was the Soundwave Festival tour, along with a Japan tour with Aggressive Dogs. And around that same time, you know, we did Australia with all these fucking just ginormous bands. I mean, the headliners, and I'm sorry if I'm a broken record, but this was really an experience, and maybe I could dive in deeper later on if we have more time in another episode. But we stayed in Australia, I think, for 2 weeks, and I think the actual tour is like 5 to 7 dates, and we were all staying at you know, essentially hotels on the off time of the tour. So it was just chaos and partying, and it was a really fucking good time. And at the same time, Defiler was wrapping up a major record deal, and I'm not going to speak too much on it because it's not my band to say anything about it. But, you know, when we signed, we went to Japan shortly after with Aggressive Dogs. We basically inked a deal with a major label. And as soon as we came back from Japan, we went to work on the new Defiler album, which we recorded Audio Hammer in Florida. Shout out to Jason Sukoff. We did that album and waited for, well, we essentially finished it up. There was some turmoil within the ranks, but I finished my stuff, went home, and started to finish Pestilence, the second Serpents album. I think I released it around that time. I might be getting my wires crossed. There's a lot to go over. But so once Pestilence came out, and I waited further instruction from, you know, the powers that be, it ended up turning into us waiting a full year. We were directed to not play shows. We were directed to not get jobs. We were directed to stay put and await further instruction. And I believe it might have been 2015, something like that. Christmas time, maybe 2015, 16, I'm not sure. But basically, we waited a full year, and then literally right around Christmas, we got a email basically saying, hey, we're dropping you guys. Sorry for the misunderstanding and good luck. And that was it, which was a huge blow to the band and the progress that we had made, and the fact that we wasted a year of our lives sitting at home, you know, trying to work side jobs and stay active and not get real jobs because we were told, hey, be ready for anything. And there was a lot more to that story, a lot more that would cause heartache if you heard it. Some of my friends, feel free to ask me, but man, it was a huge blow. And at that time, I made a promise to myself, 2016, to essentially concentrate on myself and my career. Again, as previously stated, there's a trend here if you haven't noticed, and really dive into my legacy, my art, Serpents. And with that, I believe fresh out of an ended relationship and fresh out of getting dropped and the band going on hiatus for another time, I basically said, fuck it. I'm going to write a new Serpents album. I just released Pestilence. And I, as some of you may already know, I moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to method write the new Serpents album, Temet Nosse. And I spent 2 years there. I spent 2 years living in a character. I lived in another person's skin, essentially. I loved, I've lost, I've fought, and came up with enough material out of experience to finish the lyrics for the album. So I wrote the music like 2015-16 while I was releasing Pestilence. Like there was really no time off for me. And I wrote the music, and then I said, okay, time to write the lyrics. And I was like, well, I want to make it super relatable but still allegorical or artistic, but the main rule of writing is write what you know. And to be honest with you, the year that I spent off, I kind of got out of my band skin. You know, I had to live a home life, so to speak. So I really forgot what it was to be Andrew McHale, or what it was to be, you know, the singer of Serpents or whatever. So I decided I'm going to dive into this character I've been writing about and live that storyline that I wrote. So basically I outlined the story, then moved to Grand Rapids and lived that storyline. And it ended when everything was starting to crash, which was a part of the story, aside from, you know, a death of a close one that I became close with while I was there, which really added to the despair and anguish of the record and the lyrics. And everything was just falling apart and crashing around me. So once I decided I had enough material, I moved back to Chicago briefly to lick my wounds. And again, couch surf. I think I slept on my dad's couch for a little bit. And I decided to move to Austin, Texas. And when I lived in Austin, I was working at Kuma's Corner for a little bit, and my boss at the time, I told her, I was like, yeah, I really want to move to Texas. You know, this is in the interim from Michigan to Texas. She's like, oh yeah, you know, why don't you live with my best friend? You know, she was kind of joking, and I was like, please keep me into contact. And she was like, you would really do that? You would just leave and live with a stranger? And it kind of reminded me of who I am and what type of person you have to be an artist or a musician. And I said, yeah, you know, I follow the creed of Henry Rollins. Just fucking go there. So I did. I moved to Texas. I had a nice place. I think I lived with like four or five other artists in a huge house on the outskirts of Austin. And it had like a library in it. And I got to sit in the library pretty much every night until I had to start working. I had to sit in the library, and I wrote all the lyrics for Temet Nosse. And eventually, the little money I had saved up, I moved to Austin with $300 and everything I could fit in my Toyota Camry. I lived off of that money for a little bit. And I wrote the lyrics, got a job so I can fund the album. That's the thing. In music, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, guys. I'm constantly working just to pay for stuff or merch that people could potentially buy or not buy at all. So, you know, I started as a sales manager for JBL. Did that for a while, and moved over to as a sales manager for Sennheiser, which was really fun. I really liked that job. If I were to choose to go back to work, I really liked doing that, helping people. That was my main goal. Everybody was like, oh, you're just a salesman, blah, 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 blah. I said, actually, I really care about people, and I would rather see you walk out with these beautiful headphones that will last you a good amount of time versus these piece of shit Beats or fucking garbage Skull Candy headphones. And, you know, you're wasting your whole fucking paycheck on these headphones that will break on you and all this shit. So I really loved what I did. And it was around that time when I started winding down from the party atmosphere that was Austin. I really think if I went back to Austin these days and just to hang out, I would really, really, really enjoy it. But living there was a different story for me just because it was just kind of crazy. My roommate, my old manager's friend that she told me to move in with, I love him. I still love him to this day. You know, he's a little bit of a party animal, and I can't blame him for that. But, you know, we were different strokes. I was the... And he kind of, you know, would make fun of me from time to time because I really didn't leave my room. I'm more the artist recluse type. Obviously, you know, I would go out to quote unquote cruise for a bruise, if you know what I mean, fellas or ladies. And I would do that, and it just, after a while doing that over and over again, it just really didn't have any meaning. And the last tour at this time I did was Japan. So I was really struggling with who I am. The album itself got me really fucked up, and it made me go through a lot of motions and made me transform myself yet again, which each album I do, I go through like a distillation process of the soul. You know, I was really questioning what I was doing with my life, what I was doing in Texas, what I was doing in general. And it was at this time when I had met my lady. We had met a long time ago, but, you know, she reached out of the blue. And it was like, it's almost like a storybook, you know. It was the right time for me, and it was the right time for her. And she was like, you know, I wish you were still in Chicago. And I was like, I can be. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'll take the next flight as soon as I can. Are you serious? Do you really want to see me? Because I'm just really sick and tired of the bullshitters and the time wasters. And you guys know, anybody who's in the dating field, everybody's just looking for a compliment. Nobody wants to fucking actually meet up or whatever. And if you do, like, hey, party on, you know what I mean? But, you know, at this point, I was just like, I'm sick and tired of the fucking games. I was like, I'll come out right away. Next thing you know, I was on a flight to Chicago. We met, or we hung out, and, you know, the rest is history in terms of her and I. Now, you guys might not know our history, but fast forward a little bit to, it's still 2018, and I moved back to Chicago in an apartment in Avondale to pursue serpents, because, side note, when I was in Texas, I still had the guys that I'm with right now back at home, ready to roll. I thought we could kind of conquer both areas and, you know, do Midwest shows by me coming out and then have them come out to the southern region. But it just didn't work out, just because I had work and money and all this shit. So I was like, secretly I moved to be with her, but then also added bonus is to be back in home turf, back at the home venues, friends, family, and the band. So all in all, it was, you know, I moved for that reason. And I lived over there, and we actually went to Iceland together shortly after me moving back, to kind of put her to the test in the fire, so to speak. There's no better way to get to know someone other than having to travel with them in a camper van together for however long. I guess that's the touring in me. You know, you can't test a band member until you're on tour together. And unfortunately, if you guys research my past, I've come across a lot of people that I had no idea were absolute pieces of garbage until we went on tour together, or we hit the road together. So I really thought this was the best test for a relationship. So we did. And shortly after, we lived together, which is something I thought would never happen in my life. You know, at this time, I was 30 and figured there needs to be a change. There needs to be something more to life than music. And, you know, there should be no sacrifice as far as either or. Like, I shouldn't have to choose a relationship or choose my music career. And I found someone who is not only okay with that, but helps me push myself, which it's very hard to find someone like that these days. I mean, we all know especially musicians. It's either me or your band, your little band. And for once in my life, I found someone that understands me. And honestly, this podcast wouldn't even exist because in 2019, we ended up buying a house together. We had gotten Serpents back on the stage since 2011. So that was a huge, 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 huge feat for me in my timeline of the past decade. And I started the podcast, you know, a little bit late 2019, but we still did it. And now we're here, essentially. I mulled over a lot of things, but I tried to sum it up, not only for you guys, but also for me. This is mainly a chronicling of sorts, of just things that I've done in the past 10 years. And I would like to, if I'm alive in 2030, I would like to hear this podcast and hear if I've made any progress from here, or if things haven't gone right, or everything has gone to shit. I could hear the hopefulness in my voice and the optimism when I'm ultimately a negative or pessimistic person, with good intention, by the way. I'm not a negative or pessimistic person just to be one. I'm one to protect myself and also to prepare myself for the inevitable shitibus that it usually opens up against my favor, literally, pretty much every day. So it's really cool to just sit back and look at the past year or 10 years and all the moves I've made, all the friends I've made, all unfortunately, probably more enemies than friends that I've made in the past 10 years. And a lot of them are from 2010. And they still hold everything against me, and that's okay. I can guarantee you I'm not losing sleep over any of their feelings. And I truly pity them, because it really seems that they still hold something against me. And a lot of those people, I honestly haven't done anything malicious to. I've always just watched my back and watched out for myself. And in return, that's what happens. And you guys know, you know, if you quit a job or something, if you whatever get into a fight, they don't care that you're looking out for your best interest or if you're protecting yourself. They only care that you took a stand, and they will use that against you. You know, if you're trying to get a job or whatever, they're your new employer calls, what are they going to do? They're going to sit there and talk shit, because that's the only power that they have. And from 2010 to 2020, I'm still here. We're doing the podcast still. Serpents is getting stronger than ever. After Temet Nosse was released this year. So that's the third Serpents album. I've taken a little break to reevaluate the business end of all things Serpents, my approach, and also just the path, the trajectory of the next 10 years, because that's something I think I fucked up on in the past 10 years, is I had no direction. And I still kind of don't, you know, I just let the chaos take me wherever. But moving forward, just because at this moment I'm 31 and I'll be 41 10 years from now, Jesus, fuck. And music is a passion of mine, my lady is a passion of mine, our life is a passion of mine. And as you all know, as an occultist or whatever, I'm constantly trying to better myself, to grow my wisdom, my knowledge, my spirit, my art, constantly. So I'm honestly very excited to see what happens to me if I live that long, 10 years from now. I'm excited to see where music will be 10 years from now, where metal will be, where serpents will be 10 years from now. You know, it's a new beginning, so to speak. And I hate that term, you know, new year, new me. But as I said before, with the Christmas allegory, with the new sun rising, this is the best time to do it. It's a new decade. It's a new beginning. It's a chance to leave behind all the things that don't serve you. As I spoke about on the Winter Solstice podcast, the last episode. And there's quite a few things that I'm going to leave behind. Music is not one of them. Sorry, guys. And I'm not going to dive into what I'm leaving behind, but some things will stay the same. You know, my passion, my lust, my yearning for travel, my yearning to perform, my yearning to expand, not physically, but mentally. I would like to, you know, continue my fitness journey as well. God damn, can you imagine how I'll look when I'm 40, 41, and jacked, or just like toned? God damn, I can't wait. And it really makes me think, and the purpose of this podcast is not only to document my journey in the past 10 years, but also to present to you, all of you who are listening, the potential path that lies in front of you. I mean, some of you are 21, and you might have felt the same way I felt when I was 21. Or, I don't know, like, it just shows that back in 2010, when I had left Oceano or whatever, I truly would have never thought that I would have done the things I've done, seen the places I've seen, lost the people I've lost, loved the people I've loved, and created the things that I have created. And that alone, on January 1st or December 31st, is cause for celebration. The true cause for celebration is the journey that lies ahead and what you plan to do with it. And if you're like me, you let chaos guide you. You have to have tough skin. Yeah. But you will really find like what your true potential would be if you believed in yourself and you value yourself and you remain strong. That's my message for this podcast, essentially. I mean, the possibilities are endless, my friends, my initiates. So I think I've punished you guys long enough. What are you guys leaving behind? What are you guys keeping with you as we journey to the next 10 years? I want to hear what you guys are bringing with you. I want to hear what you guys are leaving behind. Is that cool? Leave some comments in the podcast posts comments section. You know, whether you see this podcast on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, reach out. I want to hear what you guys are thinking for the next 10 years, or what you have thought of the past 10 years, or hell, I want to hear what you guys have thought about my past 10 years. How about that? What do you guys think I should do for the next 10 years? Do you guys get it? Do you guys get what I'm doing? I'm trying to open the doors. I want to have conversations with you guys. I think that's where I've lost so many of you, is that I've gone so deep into writing and music and all this stuff that I just feel that people don't communicate with me on a human level because of whatever barriers, social media, music, whatever. I'm a human being that craves contact, whether it be from music or just talking or whatever. I'm doing this podcast in hopes that people will contact me back or just reach out and say, hey, man, I hear you. I believe in that too. Or, hey, you're full of shit. Whatever. It's a basic human need, people. So don't deny me of it. All right. So that about wraps up this episode. It was kind of a rambling episode. So sorry if it was boring or self-serving. I just needed to document this stuff in a cool way. So again, my apologies. As always, feel free to listen, share, and subscribe to the podcast on all formats or mediums. Wherever you find this podcast, fucking subscribe to it. Rate it. Rate it. The more people that rate it, the more the algorithms deem it as listen worthy. So please do that if you have not already. Links again for all things serpents is weareserpents.com, facebook.com/weareserpents, serpentsmetal at Instagram, weareserpents on Twitter. And for music and merch, head to weareserpents.bandcamp.com. All right. Okay. So as always, we usually have a featured artist, featured band. And considering I've been speaking about the past 10 years and my days in Straight Line Stitch, I felt it was right to shed a light on a band that has been with me since the Straight Line Stitch days, and that is Heartsick. Some of you may have known them as No Life. We did a tour, or maybe two, I'm not sure. We did a tour together in Straight Line Stitch days, and they're still around. They're still fucking, I don't know what you would call it, man. They've just been kicking ass. They've been grinding since way before the days of me being in Straight Line Stitch. I'm just saying that's where I linked up with them. And we've been playing shows with them recently in Serpents, which has been a lot of fun. And no bullshit, I really think that their newest album, Sleep Cycles, I think it's called. Sleep Cycles. Let me just double check here. I don't want anyone to fucking yell at me here. Heartsick. Sleep Cycles. Yeah. No bullshit, guys. I really think, and not because I know these guys, I really think their new album is their best work yet. And I really think that they are onto something huge. And not to mention, the band is consisted of like the coolest dudes ever you want in a band. Like, I there's nothing I could really say about them that hasn't been said already. So I should probably just shut up and let you guys listen to the track. So you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/heartsickband. I believe you can find them on Instagram at Heartsick. Let me look. Heartsick Band as well. And you could find their album on Spotify. It's called Sleep Cycles. It was on heavy rotation this past year just because it's so fucking refreshing and it's really good. So please check them out. Check out their album. And check out this track that I'm about to play here called Shadow off of their album Sleep Cycles. All right. Thank you guys for listening this week. And hope to see you next week as we enter the new decade. Yeah.
Lord!